But the point is, God is doing something. Something real and not something fake. I don't want God to do anything fake. I don't want to start anything. Kind of those churches that pay people $20 to shout amen in the middle of the service. Some of you are like, Pastor, I'll sign up for that ministry. Praise the Lord. I could use a couple of 20s. I might even shout a little hallelujah and God bless you on the way out. We don't need that. We need a real and true, because there is a real and true Jesus who wants a real and true relationship with you and me and the rest of this world. They need it. We need it. I need to know that if I wake up in the morning and my house is burned to the ground, that Jesus is still standing beside me. I need to know if I wake up in the morning and I take the kids to school and we get in a crash and my kids, something happens to them, I need to know God's still there. I need to know whatever happens back home in Tennessee that I can do absolutely zilch about. Then I know the same God that loves me that's standing right here beside me in Bellows Falls is the same God who's standing beside my loved ones in Tennessee. And I can't do that if I don't believe Jesus is real. I can't do that if my whole world, my whole relationship is built upon a lie. Why do you think it was so amazing and astounding to the Jews when the temple veil was ripped in half? Granted, it was pretty cool to watch this big thick curtain be ripped from the top to the bottom. But the astounding thing more than anything is there was nothing on the other side of the veil. The Ark of the Covenant had been missing for hundreds of years. The God had even said in Isaiah, I've had enough of your sacrifices. Just stop the whole system. It doesn't work. Why? Because none of it's real. You get that, right? God said in Isaiah chapter 1, he said, if you're not going to have a change of the attitude of your heart, then there's no need in slaughtering animals. There's no need in changing everything. So stop sacrificing if it's not going to mean anything to you. For years they kept on doing it, kept on doing it, kept on doing it. And it didn't mean anything because they never changed their hearts. Why? Because they didn't have anything that was real. They had a religiosity spirit. They had this religious spirit of going through the motions. But God had already left from behind the curtain. And Jesus came. Jesus came. Oh, I can't tell you how awesome this is. They couldn't understand the law. They couldn't understand the word. So God sends the word in flesh. Pretty cool, huh? Diapers and all, right? We can talk about that during the Christmas season. Baby Jesus. Peeing in his pants and pooping. Got to clean up the baby Jesus. And the toddler Jesus running around getting into everything. I can't imagine. And then the teenager Jesus, which the Bible does not mention. For a reason. Right? No, I'm just kidding. Jesus comes on the scene. And you would think that such a person stepping out of eternity into the expanse of time, coming into our minute system of time, you would think the whole world would want to know this guy. You would think all people who come to church would want to know Jesus. After all, he not only stepped into time, he died, he rose again, and stepped back out. And still wants to deal with you and me. He still loves you and me. He still before, get this, the Bible says that he is constantly interceding for you and me. Can you imagine Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before his heavenly Father calling out your name? Because he knows how much you need it and I need it. Every one of our names, can you imagine? Somebody said, well, that would take an awful lot of time. Time doesn't exist there. That'll blow your physics mind. Time doesn't exist there. He can call out names forever and ever. And it still affects us now. And I, more than ever before, want to know him more. Ken, what a great song that was. the song Eagle's Wings. May I know Jesus more and more. I want you to make a vow with me that this year will be the year that we get to know him better. I'm not talking about knowing about him, because I can tell you all the statistics we know about Jesus. But he is much more than just what's written in this book. He is much bigger than we could ever fathom. And he still wants to know you and me. So let's get to know him better. Open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1. Let's just start somewhere. All right? Are you ready? How many of you want to do that? How many of you want to know him more this year? Amen. John, chapter 1. As you can tell, I'm just passionate about this morning. Because if I know him better, I can introduce him better. When I was in the Army, we would meet all kinds of people. And you could tell how well somebody knew something, somebody else, by how they introduced them. Right? Ken, I'm going to pick on you this morning just because y'all chose to be on the front, just next to the front row. One of these days, I'm just going to start removing rows just to see what happens. Pretty soon, it'll only be five, and it'll be full, right? Now, I could say to somebody, hi, this is Ken. Right? Or I can say, hey, I got to introduce you to somebody, and I'm going to tell you something. If you ever have something wrong with your computer, this guy knows his stuff. Not only that, this guy is an excellent musician and a great song leader. Hey, this is Ken. Ken, this is so-and-so. Why? Why was I able to add all that stuff about Ken? Because I know that about him. And I want you to know Jesus in such a way that you can say, hey, I want to introduce you to somebody who, when I was at my lowest, he was at his best. When I was at my worst, he was at his greatest. When I needed somebody who could pick me out of nothing and make me into something, he called out my name and he reached down and he pulled me out of the muck and out of the sin and out of the garbage I was in, set my feet upon a rock, filled me with his Spirit, equipped me with the gospel and sent me out, and I'm going on with him and we walk together. His name is Jesus. Why can I do that? Because I know him better. I want you to know him better. John chapter 1, verse 1. John is the disciple that Jesus loved, and also can also be translated, I love this, the disciple who loved Jesus. Now, a lot of times we always hear he called the disciple that Jesus loved, but you know what? In some of the original text of Greek that you read, it doesn't say it that way. It says he is the disciple that loved Jesus. So no wonder he talks about him so personally. And John is trying to give an accurate and efficient declaration to who Jesus is at the beginning of this book right off the bat. He has to set groundwork so you understand who you're talking about. You're not just talking about another priest. When he's talking about Jesus, he's not just talking about another rabbi. Oh, come on now, don't lose me here. I'll just take off without you. Keep preaching. But I want you to hang on. I want you to get this. I want this to dig so deep in your soul, it creates inside of you a hunger to know him more. John's not talking about another religious leader, another good teacher. He's talking about Jesus, and he wants to lay down this massive framework so you understand who he really is. So John starts out and says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Now, those words seem familiar to us, and it should, because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what John is saying, this Jesus, who is the Word of God, was right there from the very beginning. Right there from the very beginning. When everything started, he was already there. Next, he says, and the Word was with God. What does that mean? That means when all of time and expanse was still black and dark, and there was nothing there at all, Jesus was there. He was with God. He was right there beside them. This sentence that says he was with God, it means he was right there connected together. There was no separation between them. They were together. So then the Word was God. He's got to make that clear. Got to make that clear, because if the Word is not God, then there's no way he can save your soul and mine. He can't do it. It would be something less than holy that would make a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. So in the beginning, he said, this is the one who from the very beginning was right there. And he was right with God. And he was God. Man, I read that in my Bible study a week ago and I started to shout. That means that Jesus, from the very beginning, was with God. When they looked upon the expanse of time and eternity and they saw the creation of man, they saw the creation of the world, they saw the nations rise and nations fall and people be born and people die. And from the beginning, they formed the plan for the salvation of the world. And even in that moment when Jesus is right there with God, he still volunteers to go and sacrifice himself for you and for me. How awesome is that? That the very God of eternity still cares about the mortal people that are on this planet. You say, well, I don't see how God can care. Look at all the trials and the troubles. People that are homeless, people that are hungry, people that are hurting. They're hurting and hungry and homeless because there was one person who said, I would rather have what I want than what God wants. Now that's a tough road to hoe. But that's the problem with sin. It has absolute consequences. Oh, maybe I lost you. Hold on. We have problems in the world. We have death in the world. We have issues in the world because one man sinned. Remember Paul? Paul wrote it out very clearly. By one man, sin entered the world. Thankfully, he didn't stop there and said, and by one man, he took away the sins of the world. Amen? And from eternity's standpoint, they made this plan and put it into place from the beginning. And Jesus was a part of it. Verse 2 says, he existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light unto everyone. When they're talking about light, he's talking about life. Talking about just being alive through Jesus, even in the beginning. You know, I can't really explain this, but I kind of get it. Jesus Christ is the Word. Words are spoken. And when God says, let there be light, he does it through words. And I don't all get it. I don't have to. I'm just glad it happened. I'm just glad it existed, because the next verse says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. Praise God. He's so powerful that in the beginning he chose to give up his eternity to come down to earth and save you and me. And what he did is so great and so powerful and so exalted that there's nothing on earth that can extinguish what he did. Nothing. Nothing. Oh man, that's something to shout about. That means nothing the devil can do can void out the sacrifice of Jesus. Nothing. In fact, Isaiah writes down the words of God when God says, listen, come reason this with me. There's no stain too deep. There's no stain too dark that I can't remove it. Think about that for a minute. This Jesus, eternal, becomes mortal in order to save you and me, and pays a price that no one can eliminate off this earth. And nothing you can do to void it out either. Oh, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I've had people all the time And they make comments for this sin or that sin. This sin can't be forgiven. That sin can't be forgiven. You know, the Bible says, whosoever. Whosoever. Aren't you glad you're part of whosoever this morning? I am so glad there's nothing I've done so bad on earth that I'm not a part of whosoever. You're not. There's nothing you've done that's so bad that you're not a part of whosoever. Man, how awesome that is. And it can't be voided out. You can't overcome light with darkness, but you can always overcome darkness with light. That means every evil in this world can be conquered by Jesus Christ. That same Jesus can set your loved ones free of the condemnation of sin. Oh, that same Jesus, his sacrifice can not break. The Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke of sin. See, other sacrifices before, all they did was just cover it up. His anointing, boom, destroys it. It's gone forever. And nothing can take that away. Now, John the Baptist takes a sidestep here and he says, now God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Whose testimony? John's. Here's this guy who is absolutely off his rocker. He is. John's crazy. Beside the fact he had really old parents, he's standing out in the wilderness wearing camel's fur and eating bugs. I mean, this is long before the days of Bear Grylls, right? Long before the Discovery Channel Man vs. Wild tapes. You're talking about a guy who's eating honey and wild locusts. Now look, this is the number one reason why this pastor can never be a missionary. You're never going to get... Oh, I better not say never. Hold on. My prayer is God will never make me eat wild locusts or any kind of unnatural bug substance. But John is crazy. But what's he doing? He's telling everybody, salvation's coming. Salvation's coming. You know what? The Bible says at one point, all of Jerusalem, that's a lot of people. Now, I tell you how to get all of Bellows Falls to come out. Shoot off fireworks. Right? Because, I mean, everybody comes out to watch the fireworks. I mean, you can't even walk down the street good. On the day, they're going to shoot fireworks. Everybody puts lawn chairs in their spot on the street and walks away. I mean, if you were a collector of lawn chair paraphernalia and you wanted free lawn chairs, they're out there. Go to on fireworks day. Just pick them up. They're everywhere. And that's a lot. But the Bible says all Jerusalem came out to see John. Why do they want to see this crazy man? Because he's telling them there's hope, there's repentance, there's trust again in God. And salvation is on its way. The Bible said he began to turn the hearts of fathers to the sons and sons to the fathers. You can take that as families coming back together. We can also take it as God is drawing people back to him and we're being drawn back to God. He's coming. Tell him the light's here. It's here, it's here, it's here. How does he know that? Because when he was a baby in his mother's womb and the mother of Jesus walked into the house, the Bible said, Elizabeth went, whoa! And was filled with the Holy Spirit. John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb by being in the presence of Jesus. Oh, you just didn't get that. Oh, to be in the presence of Jesus. We're babies. We're children. Where we understand he's right here. Oh, man. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light who gives light to everyone, was coming to the world. And he came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came into his own people, and they rejected him. Oh, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are not reborn, not in physical form at least, from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes only from God. Now listen to me. This Jesus came into the world for one reason alone, to save you and me. The Bible said he came for this reason, to seek and save those that were lost. At one time or another, we were all lost. Maybe some of you still are, but I know I'm not. He's already saved me, and praise God he saved me, because I was a fit before I was saved. But he came to seek and save those that were lost. And when he came into the world that he created, can you imagine? Jesus comes into this world, the world he created, and they don't even recognize him. His own people, who had been looking for a Messiah for hundreds of years, they had thousands of fake messiahs pop up. You would think by the time the real Messiah came, they would be ready for him, and they weren't. We talked about that a couple weeks ago when all Jerusalem goes, "We didn't have a baby born in Jerusalem. We don't know what you're talking about." And the wise men, the astrologers from the east said, "Oh yeah, he's here. We saw a star. That's why we came. We brought gifts. Where is he?" Nobody knows. So they weren't expecting him to come the way he did. But he said to those who did believe him, and to those who did accept him, now catch this, you became family. You became family. It's much more than just being a part of a church. It's family. See, Jewish law says that once a child has been adopted, a child can never be disowned. Woo! You didn't get that. I'll say that again. According to Jewish law, once a child has been adopted, a child can never be disowned. So to those who believed him, those that accepted him, they weren't just servants. They were family. They were part of something greater than anything they'd ever been a part of before. They were part of a bigger family that now stretches into the millions of members. And Jesus, that same Jesus who stepped out of eternity in the time, that same Jesus that created the world with the words of his mouth, same Jesus that came down and gave his life for you and I, rose again so you and I could have real life, still says, if you will accept and believe in me, you can be part of this family too. Children of God, you don't understand the rights and privileges of that. Jesus will later say, ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will knock. And your wife will say, where'd you put the keys? Sorry. That was funny to me when it happened the other day. I got locked out and my wife said, where's your key? A coat. Knock and the door will be open. What's he saying? He's saying there is something greater than just knowing about Jesus. Because when you know him, it opens you up to being a child of God. How awesome is that? How wonderful is that? That the God of the universe still wants you. He still wants me. He still wants me despite myself. Despite my needs, despite my hurts, despite my circumstances, despite my aggravations, despite my doubts, despite my fears, he still loves me. He still wants me. He wants me to know him. And he still wants you to know him too. Man. John said, this is the word. This is just the threshold. This is just the beginning. just a glimpse of who he really is. There's so much more to Jesus than words on the page. So much more to Jesus than the movies we see on television. I mean, granted, they try hard. And we give a little bit of congratulations for Discovery for actually mentioning Jesus, since our schools won't. Oh, you didn't hear that. I'll try that again. So at least Discovery Channel will mention Jesus, even though our schools won't. But they're satisfied with just knowing the shell. But there is so much more to know about Jesus. And he offers that to you and to me to be able to say, if you will just accept and believe, there's so much more that fills the void of questions. That this is a real Jesus that we serve, a real Jesus that we come to church to worship. Because so many times people will come into a church like this and they'll... I'm going to do my sit thing, okay? So just bear with me. They come in and they sit and they say, boy, he's really hyper today. I don't know what his problem is. And then we're clapping. Yep. Praise God. That pastor, look at him. He's just doing all this... That's all them years in the army band for you. Musician in me coming out. And we just come in and we have this basic, so simple, so shallow understanding about him. And he says, you want to really know me? Go deeper. Go deeper. Go deep. And don't be scared. See, I think that's the reason why so many people only got so far with Jesus. Because if you remember, there comes a time when there's thousands of people surrounding Jesus. I would too if I was going to get a free lunch. You go in, you fish and bread, you know, fish and chips. Love it. It's great. If the disciples had their way, they would open up a seafood restaurant right there. Never make a killing. Wouldn't have to order food. Jesus just keeps splitting stuff. It just keeps coming out. And then he feeds the 4,000. Well, where'd the other 1,000 go? I tell my wife they wanted steak, not fish. I'll get that later. And then all of a sudden there's 500. And then there's 120. And then there's 12. And by the time he makes it all the way up to the Garden of Gethsemane, there's only 3. You want me to tell you, those 3 found a Jesus that was so deep. And that same Jesus wants to open up to you. Now, I understand there are many people who are not able to take this kind of journey. Why, Pastor? Because they're afraid. They still got the Matrix mentality. What we used to call it in youth ministry. Still not sure which pill they should take. Or for some of you others, they're not really sure how deep the rabbit hole goes. They're afraid that once they surrender, once they get into this Jesus thing, they may not be able to pull out. Because how many of you know this world is scared to death of the word commitment? Because once you surrender to Jesus, there's no telling where your life will take you. There's a map on the back wall of the world. Surrounding it are pictures of people who God, they chose to surrender to know this Jesus deeper, and it's taken them all around the world. And we don't know how deep our relationship with Jesus will take us, but I know where I'll be if I turn it down. See, I've seen the result of people who have had the opportunity and the invitation to follow Jesus, to know him better, to have a real and honest and true relationship with God. And then when they get just ankle deep in the water with God, they get scared and they turn around and their lives have been shambles ever since. Why? Because you were created for that relationship with Jesus. From Adam and Eve, created to have fellowship with God. And you were created with a desire inside of you to know Him better. And you know why people are miserable today? Many of them because they've heard the call. Come and know me better. Come and fellowship with me. If you will but open the door, I will come in and I will fellowship with you and you with me. And they're scared. And they've let their life slip away from them because the very God who created them, all He wanted to do was get them to know Him better. And now they wonder, why is this going on? Why is that going on? Why when I go 3 steps forward, I take 9 steps back? And God's still calling. Open the door. Come know me better. Let me be a part of your life. Let me show you how this is supposed to work. Let me show you what I created you to do. Let me show you the blessings that come from being a child of God. Know me better. And fear keeps many people triple locking the door. But I want to know Him better. Because the more I know Him, I often wondered why the four beasts around the throne constantly say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Why can they keep saying the same word over? Don't you think one holy is enough? Somebody told me they believe it's because every time they say holy, another attribute of God is shown to them. And they continue to cry out holy. And you know what? The more I know Him, and the more I open myself to Him, and I get deeper with Him, and the more I begin to study who He is and allow Him to work in my life now, I'm not after the historical Jesus. I'm after the living God who lives inside of me. I'm after the God who loved me so much He died for me. I'm not after the historical Jesus. I'm after the real, live, breathing Jesus Christ who conquered sin and death. That's who I'm after. The more and more I see His attributes to me, I cry out holy too. The more I can look out my window at the snow falling yesterday and see this little bird still eating, still finding food. God created, I'll never be able to explain it, but in the backside of that tree there was a spot with no snow. And somewhere up in a tree, that bird had a worm in its mouth. It found a worm in the tree. And I said, God, if you're able to pull worms out of trees and protect a layer of this tree for that one bird, God, how much more do you care about me? How much more God cares about you? If you want to know, He's still calling out today, come know me better. That's why I want this church to get to know Him better. To see the Jesus that's able to meet and supply every one of our needs. The Jesus that's able to come down and heal people, deliver people, set people free, put people on the right path, call people to ministry. And see God do miraculous things that we only thought were yesterday's news. Well, let me tell you something. He's the same God. He's the same Word. And He still brings the same light to all of us as well. And to those who believe and accept what He's done, we are His children. We're children of God. I want to know Him better. What about you? Would you bow your heads this morning?